Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Tuesday edition, the full-fledged numbers of Christian Watson's contracts are in. Does anybody still think that the Packers overpaid? You think they don't know what they're doing? We'll discuss coming up edition. The NBA Finals are now 2-1. We'll talk to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike after the Spurs win in New York, and the president fell asleep like Jesse at a Packers game edition. And the mandatory minicamp is here. I'll be heading down to Ray Nitschke Field, and we'll be hearing from Matt LaFleur while construction goes on in the background edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the phenomenal ESPN Wisconsin app, which is A, free, B, customizable, and C, available to you in both the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer. Jesse, did you stay up for the entirety of that Brewers game?
I did.
It's a baby park. Huh?
I did. Oh, it's a baby state. 11 homer. That was one of the wildest Brewers games I've seen in my life.
How deep is the fence there?
One of the home runs went 318 feet, I think I saw. So yeah, I don't know exactly what the dimensions of that part. It's the Las Vegas ballpark, which is the home of the Triple A team.
Don't we kind of feel like every park should have the same dimensions?
No, it's part of the charm of baseball.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why
part
is that charming?
It's part of the charm because, like, Fenway Park has the Green Monster. Wrigley Field's got the baskets.
That's
like,
fine. Have the
Dodger
Green Monster,
Stadium's
but it should still be 330 down the line, and it still should be 420.
It's fun when you got the little Crawford boxes in
Houston.
It's fun. Where you can
when you're giving up 11 home runs and it's Little League baseball.
This is different.
How is it different?
Between the
playing three games there.
So Vegas is in elevation. Jeff Levering talked about that on the broadcast last
night. Yeah, and they dehumidify the balls.
So they're in elevation.
Yeah,
so
they put the balls in a dehumidifier.
But it's like Colorado where that can be a factor when you get a ball in the air. It could take off a little bit.
I think Lambeau should go because we're a little more explosive. We should have a 120-yard field. That makes sense, right? Because it's the charm. Because it's charming.
They're hitting balls out, like, into the parking lot because the cars are parked, beyond the right field wall.
It's not charming. It's idiotic.
It's
not charming.
They're building a new stadium for the A's when they get there in 2028. So this is a temporary thing. It's just
a
building excitement.
Put a temporary fence at 330 feet, then.
But the whole thing is ridiculous.
My point. Yeah.
15 to 14. 12
you can't,
innings.
You're playing baseball, like... It shouldn't be. Now all these stadiums, everybody's getting a new stadium. Enough with this, with these little kitschy. It's not kitschy. It's dumb. So no, I don't want my fence 240 feet. You're playing Little League baseball at Nakusa or Kellner like we did back in the old days. It shouldn't be the case. Short
what about
porch
a Nastua?
Short porch out in right field for the Yankees. How many glorified stats of that? But no. Like last night was an abomination. No, baseball, that's what it was. It was an abomination. Was it entertaining? Yeah, but it was an abomination.
It was awesome. It was stupid awesome.
Yeah.
Contreras fell down, like butt on the ground, and he had a three-run home
run.
Can
we have, it's time to have a conversation, too. I don't know whose birthday's coming. I mean, my birthday's coming up, but birthdays are coming up. It's time to have a conversation about our shortstop in Milwaukee.
Oh, we want to have a real baseball conversation here.
We got young guys. It's time. Let's go. This ain't working. We on board?
Left side of the infield struggling.
Yeah. I would agree. But yeah. That's short.
It's a
hey,
hole.
Man. Ortiz, but, hey. All right, but it's time. It's time.
He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I don't understand why you think it's charming to have a 310-foot.
Okay,
that's
so wait
not
a
charming.
Let's wait. Okay. So this is a temporary situation. Are they the first team to actually play the Athletics in Vegas?
Yes. Yes. Well, so technically that's not true. The A's played a series there in like 1996
yeah,
or something
right.
like that.
But since we knew they were moving there, yes. This is the first time. This is obviously a temporary stadium scenario. This is not where they're going to be playing once they move there permanently. I don't know what the dimensions are of that ballpark. I think if we're speaking generally, they are roughly the same dimensions in most stadiums. I don't think they should all be cookie cutter and all look like Milwaukee County Stadium, which, by the way, I think was 315 down the lines.
Why is baseball different than the other sports? I just want
hockey has different size.
No, they
rinks.
Don't. Not in the NHL, they don't.
Right, but there are other realms where they do. Right, and
yeah,
and this
Little
is
League baseball,
the base paths. The base paths are still the same distance, right? The pitcher's mound is still the same distance.
Yeah, all
yeah,
of those
but
things are the same.
Way you score runs isn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it'd be boring if every ballpark
sure.
was designed
yeah,
exactly the same.
Hoops is boring, too. It's boring that every court's
well, no,
the same and that the hoops are the
no,
same
they
height.
They get to change the colors on the court.
Yeah.
I love court designs. And when
you can, nobody said you can't decorate the field up different. Put all the banners and signs you want out there.
They're not going to do a gold, like, AstroTurf infield for the Las Vegas A's when they move there. That's preposterous.
Okay.
Kind of like that idea.
340 down the lines at the Las Vegas ballpark. 340 down the lines, 415 to dead center, 380 to the gaps.
Yeah, I think AmFam Field, we should, we're going to embrace this, right? I'm not, but you guys are. Let's embrace it. Let's put dragons out in the, like, they can jump out of the fence because we might be entertaining. Is that what you guys are talking about?
I always thought a moat would be cool.
I kind of think a moat. There's no warning track. There's just a bridge.
No, there is a warning track, but then a little moat and then more warning track. Watch out.
I'll hit it down Gator Alley. Got Gator, Florida. Got them Gators down there.
Jesse, can you give those dimensions again while we rage bait Tausch about the baseball stadiums?
And thanks to Ryan Wollersheim, the producer of Jim, Matt, and Molly in the Afternoons. He sent this to us as we started the show here. So this is according to Ballpark Pal on Twitter. At the Las Vegas ballpark,
start in left field and go around. And so, I will, because I want to tell you what AmFam Field is in those same locations.
All right, left field, down the left field line, 340 to the pole, 340.
AmFam, 342.
All right, about the same. To the left center gap, 380.
AmFam Field, 371.
Mm-hmm. All right, 415 to dead center.
400.
380 to the right center gap.
374.
And 340 down the right field line.
337.
What's your point?
Is that there's actually aspects to the stadium that they played in last night that are the wall is farther away from home plate than at AmFam Field. I don't think it was the dimensions of the ballpark that were largely responsible for 11 home runs. Sounds to me like the elevation and the dehumidification of the balls and everything else was. I don't know. Abomination felt strong to me. That's all. I don't have a super strong opinion on this, but you clearly do. I thought a 15-14 game seemed like fun if I would have stayed up till 1 in the morning to watch the rest of it.
Down to their final strike, the Oakland A's, Jonah Heim,
who?
I think. Heim.
What team was that? What team was that?
The Las Vegas A's. Put a quarter in the jar. Dang it. Heim.
Why? They don't even have a home.
Yeah, they're just the
A's. You
can
call them whatever you want. You don't need no quarter and no jar.
The soon-to-be Las Vegas A's. Heim hits a pop-up. I'm watching it on TV. Levering says, like, down to their final strike, swinging a pop-up to right field. Contreras, like, bats his glove behind home plate like the game's over. Swinging a pop-up to right field. Freelick's under. Uh-oh, it's going back. He's at the warning track. Oh, my God, it's out of here, and we're tied. Like, he thought the game was easily over, and the wind just takes his ball out. It was ridiculous.
Sounds like fun. Abomination felt strong to me, but we all get tomato, tomato. A lot of other things going on besides that barn burner in Las Vegas. The continued fallout from the Brendan Sorby ruling in the courts. That was an interesting story to follow yesterday. Obviously, the NBA Finals, Game 3, the Spurs win their first game. The series has started. It started a long time ago because the Knicks won 2 on the opposing home court, and Tausch loves that old saying from George Karl. And the Packers kick off their mandatory minicamp today, first practice of 3 scheduled practices. And the Christian Watson numbers are in on his contract as well. So a lot to get to. But first, we need to get to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. Shopping for new windows and doors should never include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, and helping homeowners find the right fit for their home. And they never use high-pressure sales tactics when you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors. Also sells them, installs them, and services them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We'll get ready for Evan Cohen, who comes up at the bottom of the hour. It's Wilde and Tausch. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch rolls on. Tausch, normally, I welcome you to the program, ask you how you're doing, and then you always have something that you're hot on right away. Instead, kind of put you in a spot where the abomination of a baseball game ended up being the lead topic. What's on your mind today before we move forward?
What's on
Was
your
it
mind?
This baseball game?
What's on your mind today?
Christian Watson's contract numbers.
Let's go there.
So Rob Domofsky, as ESPN has access to that database, tweeted this out a little while ago. Somebody else had it this morning as well when I was talking to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But Rob has all the details. The signing bonus, as was reported, was $31 million. The actual extension, as Rob points out, is worth $92.5 million with escalators that could bring it closer to the $110.5 million that was initially reported. So now you're talking 4 years, $92.5 million, if we're doing the math, old boy. His average per year of the new money is $23.135 million. Which ranks him just inside the top 20 of wide receivers, according to Rob. There is no additional guaranteed money beyond that signing bonus. So we saw players get 60, 80, 100 million in guarantees. Christian Watson took 31. Mark Chmura's response this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy when I was on with him was, what is this agent doing? How is he allowing him to sign this contract? Should this change, Tausch? And by the way, the other part of this, in 2028, there is a $13 million roster bonus due in March which would be either, hey, we love what Christian's done these last two seasons. We want him here. We're going to convert that to a signing bonus and spread the charge out over the next several years. Or, hey, he's been hurt the whole time. We don't want him anymore. We're not paying this bonus. He can take a pay cut if he wants to stay. Otherwise, we're going to move on. So, you know, you always talk about Goody and Russ Ball. This looks like as I said to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I can't imagine still being in the, oh, they overpaid for this guy. This is a terrible contract crowd anymore.
Well, if he doesn't play and he's injured, yeah. So, I mean, Chewy, obviously, Christian Watson feels like he's a number one wideout, but he also has to deal with the fact that he's been hurt a lot, and the Packers mm-hmm. controlled him for two more years, realistically, if they wanted to tag him. And I'm guessing that, what was he going to make, $13 million this year? I get a kick 11. Out of $11 million. So that 30-some-odd million of franchise tag for a wide receiver or a transition tag would be, I don't know, low mid-20s, probably somewhere in that ballpark. So I think I've said this a million times. If you want to break the bank and get the top dollar, you got to go to market.
Bet on yourself. Yeah,
you got to go to market. You can't take guarantee. You can't take a small, you know, a life-changing amount of money, which at $31 million for Christian Watson and his family is going to change lives.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And mm-hmm. you could say, well, he should have made $150. Yeah, yeah. If you want to go through and do all of that, and you bet on yourself. And if you are healthy and you're rolling, you don't even have to start at that point. But because you got hurt and you got that little, you know, that guaranteed last year, you kind of put yourself in a position to let Green Bay control the terms of the negotiation. That's sports. So I don't know why everybody is, you know, up in arms about it. He chose to do it this way. He is going to be taken care of, and he's going to be a great bargain for the Green Bay Packers if he's as good as I think he is. And that's the way it goes. And he's still going to be making, you know, 20-some-odd million. And by the way, in a year or two, he can sit out and renegotiate and hold out. Like, there's other ways that you can go about doing it if you feel like you're criminally underpaid, which by the end of this, I hope he feels that way, because that means he's been super productive. As far as, you know, should people feel like it's not going to change anybody's mind. I mean, this is like politics. If you hate somebody, you're going to find every negative thing and you're going to hammer on them. If you like them, you're going to ignore. And with Christian Watson, not that he's a polarizing guy, because by all accounts, he's a great leader. He's a good dude. And he works hard. But people look at him as an injury-prone guy, and he has been injured. And you're either going to say, why are you paying an injured guy this much money when you could be paying Tucker Kraft? Well, let me give you a little newsflash. Tucker Kraft's going to get paid. And mm-hmm. he's going to be one of the top tight ends in the business, and it'll be structured in a way that the Green Bay Packers like it. That's how Green Bay works. Unless you're Micah Parsons or Jordan Love, this is how Green Bay does their business. And when you do it early and you're proactive with it, you're going to get the better end of it if you're Green Bay, if the player's great. If the player's injured, not good, then you could look at it and say, well, it's dead cap. The Packers know that's the price of doing business. They identify guys they want. They pay them. They pay them early. And then when the cap goes up and other players are getting paid big numbers, they're going to say, players will look at it and say, I should have probably waited. I hope that's the case with Christian Watson.
So do you feel better, worse, or the same about his contract?
The exact same. What was reported is what was reported.
I mean, it's worth even less than what was initially reported. And
it confirms that there's no other guaranteed money. Yeah, if it was more guaranteed money, trust me, his reps and his people would have put it out.
I agree.
Nothing in this is surprising, and it's exactly what you thought it was going to be, and I don't think anybody's mind is changing, because now what? He might make $15 million less, and if he doesn't hit all of his incentives? The Packers got a great deal on a really good football player. They got him when he was injured. They've utilized that, and now the opportunity is going to be for Christian to blow this thing out of the water. And by the way, it's just such a funny world to me, because in every other business, you can look at it and say, he's earned it, he's got it. He's going to earn every penny of that $100 million. And I know everybody's making $200 and $250, and Jamar Chase is $45. He's not Jamar Chase. He's not Jay Jettis. So I don't think Green Bay, while he is definitely the number one now, that is not something that is like, oh, this has got to be how it's going to be. If Matthew Golden balls out, Matthew Golden can be the number one, and then people are going to say, boy, he's pretty highly paid for a second wideout, and that's all right too. So that's why this deal makes a ton of sense on both ends. It's a much better deal for the Packers if he's a stud. If he, unfortunately, something happens to him at paintballing today or something else, it's a heck of a deal for Christian Watson. That's the reality of the situation. And for anyone to get angry about it and like upset, I love it because it's passion. And I want people to be passionate about sports. But I just have a hard time getting, oh my God, that's a, it's so bad for Christian. Yeah, he'll be all right, guys. Let's say he gets it. So that 30, with 31 million, if he didn't play another snap, that's 17, 18 million bucks. Go put it in some of these AI stuff. I mean, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. So don't feel bad and chastise and everything else with Christian Watson. You can if you want. I'm not going to tell you can't. I'm saying it's idiotic.
You
to
just
do it.
Did tell him not
I'm saying
to
it's
do
idiotic,
it.
But I'm also, I just said I want the passion of it because it's great, but I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with people that thought that they overpaid him. I think that this, the you said it, I will quote you.
But he's not underpaid right now either.
No, so, I think the Packers got a great deal, which could be
maybe.
A phenomenal
yeah,
deal.
Maybe. If he doesn't play,
you can,
if he plays
you can
four
cut
games
him loose
next
after
year
2 years.
If something happens to him in four games, you're not going to say it's a great deal.
Right, but there's that risk with everyone. I know he
but
has
but that's
a track
the point.
Record. The guy came back from his ACL. He didn't miss any games last year. Once he came back.
Yeah, but he missed
he did
half
leave
the
his,
season.
No. What I'm saying is he played 15 games in 2024, tears his ACL. Everyone misses time with an ACL. When he came back, he didn't miss another game because
Nine
of injury.
I've been told.
That is what I've been told, and maybe not in time for the Bears or for the Cowboys. And then when he came back, yes, he left the stadium in an ambulance, but he played the following week. The only game he didn't play in was the expertly covered regular season finale in Minnesota when they sat guys. So again, I thought that there was way more backlash in a negative way about the Packers and what they gave him. I would argue that this holds up pretty well. And yes, there's risk, but I think they mitigated risk and mitigated their financial commitment. $13 million in a roster bonus in 2028 that he is in no way guaranteed of getting looks like smart business to me by this team. That they have the two-way go of, hey, he's had two great years. Let's convert this to signing bonus and create a bunch more cap space. Or, you know what, he's been hurt a bunch. This turned out to be money not well spent. We're not going to throw good money after bad. We're not going to pay him the roster bonus. He can either come back on a salary cap, reduced salary, or we'll move on from him. And we've got
this,
Savion Williams in the waiting.
This is why Russ Ball is the best in the business at what he does. This is why the Packers are a first-class organization, because they proactively do this. They're smart, and they have outs. A lot of teams don't, and there are players you can't do that with. I don't know Micah's contract, but I'm guessing he's going to get I'm guessing it's not going to be that team friendly. Jordan Love, I'm guessing it's not that team friendly. I probably could tell you that's going to be the only two guys that those contracts aren't team friendly. Mm-hmm. That's the business of the NFL. And you can sit and if Christian Watson balls out, by the way, he can hold in. Because it seems like there's a lot of people worried about he's not getting paid fairly. And if that's the case, and I feel like you're maybe in that camp a little bit, Jay, then he can hold out. He could ball out this year. And if all these other guys are making 45 and 50 million bucks, which by the way, they will, and he's making 23, that's when you can just say, I'm going to come in, but I'm not doing anything until you touch my contract. And then things can get contentious. Don't see that happening with Christian. I think he is looking at this from the perspective of, you guys stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter that I blew my knee out and that I've been injured and I've had hamstring issues. You all stuck with me. I'm going to make you look smart. And I think that's maybe the difference. And it's okay that everybody can have differing opinions on it. But the bottom line on it is, it's a hell of a deal for the Green Bay Packers. And The Packers will be very excited and happy if Christian Watson can stay healthy. I said it the other day, and people, oh, my brother's like, oh, 13 games. If he plays 13 games a year and puts up the numbers that he does on average, this contract is a steal. This is a great move. He doesn't need to be 17 games all world. If he is, awesome, but that's not even where this is at. And I think maybe the Packers are factoring that in when they did this deal, and I'm sure Christian Watson did. Or you're going to end up looking at it and saying, yeah, could he have held the line and played this season out on a $13 million deal? And if he's healthy, would he have gotten 35 or 40? Probably, but that's not for certain either. Because what the Green Bay Packers did, smart teams will do the same. But unfortunately, or fortunately for players, they're idiotic teams that will go over the top, that have cap space, and they'll say, boy, Watson was really good last year. I think we should give him $180 million guaranteed. And Christian Watson's going to be like, yeah, I'll take that.
That sounds like a great idea.
And then I don't know how – then it gets back to how invested are you in the new team and all of the other things that go into free agency. So I get it. Have your feelings. Have your passion. I love it. I'm going to disagree with you on a couple fronts, though, and that's okay.
What we can't agree on is that things always get interesting when Evan Cohen joins us. He will join us next after I tell you that you don't have to hop on a plane or board a cruise ship to feel like you've escaped. Your next getaway is waiting right in Milwaukee at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Start with the stay, the biggest hotel rooms in all of Milwaukee. Nearly 500 beautifully designed rooms and luxury suites that are perfect for a weekend reset, a date night, or celebrating something big. And you're just steps away from all the fun stuff that's happening inside. And you've got so many options when it comes to eating. Dream Dance Steakhouse, The Marketplace, Rock and Brews, which is my favorite, Canal Street Cafe, Cream City Coffee Company, and Ruyi Asian Kitchen, which is the one on my to-do list. If you're planning a wedding, a birthday, or an anniversary, the event spaces are built to make them unforgettable. Sophisticated relaxation, incredible flavor, and a full night out all in one place at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Joining us now on the Yuengling guest hotline, Yuengling, 197 years in America, the oldest brewery in America, and it is now in Wisconsin, six generations family owned and operated. DJ Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly, is the host of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, and of course across ESPN Wisconsin every morning. It is Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Taos, Jesse, how are you guys?
Good. Did you stay awake for the entirety of the Knicks Spurs game last night?
Yes, of course. I mean, all three of these games have been fascinating from start to finish, and all the twists and turns and the way Wemby played early I thought was great. And yes, I was awake.
Why? How do you pick? Is it finals games you stay up? Because I'm guessing for the Eastern Conference Finals you didn't stay up for all those games, did you?
You didn't really need to. The Knicks pummeled them. I mean, what do you mean? Like, no, I tried to stay up as best as I could for all these games, and definitely San Antonio, Oklahoma City. I probably find myself going to sleep earlier on the days, like a Friday night or a Saturday night, when I don't have a show the next day and I can watch it back in the morning. But I do my best to try to stay up.
Thank you for your service. That's good stuff.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
You asked me a question.
I understand. Don't get mad.
Serve our country.
Hey, don't get mad. Don't get all mad.
You're kind of getting after people a little bit today, there, old boy. Like you've come in strong today. I like it. Passionate, as you said, about other people and their opinions. We were debating the Christian Watson contract. Now that the numbers are out, Evan, I am wondering if his contract even makes it to the hallowed halls of unsportsmanlike. He's not a top-tier wide receiver. He's been injured a lot. But Packers fans obviously were divided on whether he deserved a contract or not. And now that ESPN has the final numbers of his extension, he looks like a pretty good bargain to me for a guy that obviously has had injury issues but also has been a really good player. Is he a guy that even makes it onto your radar?
I don't remember if we talked about him or not, to be honest with you. Like, I really don't. I've talked about him in general, and I definitely had it in my notes. We had Schefter on this morning. I don't think I even put it in my notes for today, but I will say I have a couple of Packers-related things that I'll bring up for you guys.
All
right. Number one, I was doing the math with Jim, Matt, and Molly last week on ESPN Madison, but I want to pose it to you guys. I think I have figured out the math for Packers' success this year. And what it is 1.5 times stats from a year ago. Take Christian Watson's receptions, yards, and touchdowns, multiply them each by 1.5. Take Jordan Love's touchdown-to-interception ratio, multiply it by 1.5. Double Matthew Golden's games played and his stats, and then multiply that by 1.5. The reason I say that...
Just wait, we're
way
doubling
difficult.
And then going 1.5?
Well, remember, he didn't play a full season, Tosh. I know you don't follow the team, but he only played, I think, 7 games. So if we put him at like 14 games or so, and then you multiply
you can't start like adding variables.
Right,
like,
don't worry, Tosh. Don't worry about that part. Just think about it this way.
What?
The Green Bay Packers have invested in Jordan Love, obviously. Christian Watson now, whether it's a value deal or not, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Reed and Matthew Gold, right? Mm-hmm. Those are their guys in terms of passing the football. And in order for them to have maxed out success realistically this year, there's an argument that all of them need to multiply their stats by 1.5 now that Romeo Doubs is gone, Dontavian Wicks is gone. All these guys are no longer there, and that wide receiver room seems to be cleaned up relative, not that the other guys weren't good, but cleaned up relative to roles. Now they have to perform. And I think, and I know Tucker Kraft coming back obviously will be a big part of this, but if you just do the math, I think you'll see, you know, those are good target numbers for these guys. But that's asking a lot of people. Like, I don't know, Tausch, what your coach has asked of you in terms of percentage better year over year. It probably wasn't 1.5 times better, because that's an enormous amount.
Yeah, and you double things, and 1.5. I think we did a thing with Dan Kelly last week on receptions, touchdowns, et cetera, and... Yeah, I mean, we're looking at Jordan Love, 4,100 yards, I think, is the Hard Rock Casino Rockford line on how many yards he's going to throw. He's going to need to be higher than that. So I guess to your point, all of those guys are going to need to be more productive. I don't necessarily think it'll have to be to that degree that you're saying, but no question. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt. Matthew Golden, I think, of everybody in that group, because of the injury factor with Tucker and Watson, if they just stay on their trajectory of what they averaged when they played, they're going to be fine. It's going to be Matthew Golden and Jaden Reed, and I think Matthew Golden's going to need to make the biggest jump if that offense is going to make the big jump.
So I don't have an answer to this, and I'm genuinely looking for your feedback on this, both of you. Why is it that me, and maybe other Packers, I'm not a Packers fan, but I'm not a hater by any stretch of imagination, but football fans, Packers fans, why is it that I felt so good about this team a year ago and so not as good a year later? What
injuries
changed, do you think? What,
it's the injury factor.
Is that it?
No, it is. We don't know when Mike is. There's an uncertainty. There was no big splash offseason. The fact that we hosted the draft, there was the buzz, we got the wide out, we ended up grabbing Micah Parsons, everything was rolling, we started off and dominated a team that had kind of eaten our lunch in the opener, and everything looked like this defense was going to be, because we always just assume our offense is going to be good enough. It was always, can our defense, and with Jeff Hafley, now there's more uncertainty with when is Micah going to be back, what are we doing with the new defensive coordinator, where are we at with our running game? We don't know about our O-line. There's more question marks now because of the injuries and because of some of the coordinator, and you have the kicking issue. You have a new kicker. There's just more uncertainty with this group than there was. This was even pre-Micah last year. That's what I would answer your question.
Okay. Yeah, you bring up an interesting point about the draft, and maybe it was that I was just, like, physically around there. You know,
well, and your face was on a bus, right? And
you were at the Washington game.
You had a lot of ego. Like, that it, you like those to first two.
In fairness, Evan, the first two games, you know, you were at one of them, but like you left feeling the way you felt about this team, and I think it was an accurate way to feel. I mean, again, I know I bring this up all the time, but like, yeah, they had some rough patches. They shouldn't have lost in Cleveland. They shouldn't have tied in Dallas. But they were sitting at 9-3-1 without Tucker Kraft going into Denver and were leading in the third quarter against the AFC's number one seed. Like, feeling good about that team last year was not in any way the wrong way to feel about them. But again, so much uncertainty was created by the way they finished the season that I totally get why you think the way you do now.
And did I bring up my 2027 draft conversation with you guys around the Packers last week? I can't remember now. I'm losing it a little bit.
If you're asking us to remember what you said, I can't remember what I said.
So then let me ask this question. How would this season be different, upcoming, for Jordan Love if the Green Bay Packers had their first round pick of the 2027 draft, which is the most QB heavy draft we've seen in years? Not that he would be replaced, but if he was just kind of fine again, would the Packers do what the Packers do, which is start the 3-year in advance clock if in this draft with quarterbacks supposedly this good? Because I think the fact that they don't have their 2027 first rounder, in a way, not that they're trying to get rid of Jordan Love, buys him some time, don't you think?
You think the Packers are even thinking about that right now?
No, I don't.
So what are you asking?
Couch, would they think about it if everyone is right and this draft has like 5 or 6 first-round quarterbacks that are awesome and Jordan Love just has an okay season where they don't win the division, they lose early in the playoffs, and just kind of has nothing on the top line of that resume. There's no MVP, there's no division, there's no Super Bowl. Would they do what the Packers do, which is draft a quarterback when they want one, not when they need one, based on the value coming out in the draft?
Only if they did that, that would be the end for Jordan Love. There would not be competition. That would be, we're moving on. If you're going to, so no, I don't think the Packers even blinked about thinking about that at this point. No.
I understand that.
So I don't understand what you're asking then.
My point is, I'm really hungry. I'm trying to lose weight. Thank God the buffet that is across the street from me is closed today. Because if it was open, I'd be in trouble. That's my point.
Wow. That's a pretty good... You're the king of the analogy. What do you make of that analogy? Whether or not you agree with this premise, that's a pretty good analogy.
Sure. Not a bad analogy.
The quarterback buffet... it's not open for the Packers because they don't have a pick. And so there's no temptation to do that.
No, but I have a great cousin sub that I'm eating, and I'm walking out. I'm like, oh, this is filling me up. I'm good. I don't care that there's a big buffet over there. I got my sub, and I'm good.
All right. Well, that is good. I like cousin subs a lot. Turkey sandwiches from there, very good.
Okay.
All right, Evan, we have to talk about this with you because you have the wide-ranging perspective, but this has resonated with absolutely everyone who follows college athletics. The Sorby reinstatement by the judge yesterday.
It's a real sordid affair, am I right? No, it's pretty good. You don't have to, just because you guys said no, it's pretty good.
Reach. His name isn't sordid, though. But you've got teams now saying they're not going to schedule Texas Tech. You got, like, there's also a little bit of holier-than-thou stuff
going
on. I'm
going to say this. Prove it that you're not going to actually do it.
Why? I don't understand. Why would you not schedule Texas Tech? wouldn't you want to schedule Texas Tech? Because what if you believe that Sorsby somehow is fixing games, he can't fix a game for the other team to lose. He can only fix the game for his team to lose. So wouldn't you want to schedule Texas Tech more?
Well, I think he's rehabbing, allegedly. I think he's rehabbing all that.
No, and I do, and I give him credit for treating and doing his best to treat an addiction and an illness that obviously nobody would sign up for. Period. Next sentence. The fact that he's allowed to play college football is utterly absurd.
Thank
because
you.
In theory, I'm a Texas Tech player. Okay? I'm a fringe player. I'm not an NFL guy. I know on a Wednesday that five of my guys are injured. Two of my guys are going to be academically ineligible. We are going to be depleted to no ends. Am I not allowed to go and try to bet now? Oh, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get suspended for two games? What do I care? Because I got a judge mm-hmm. that can get me out of that. I could make hundreds of thousands of dollars to set me up for the rest of my life, or at least for the next however many years, because I ain't playing on Sundays. Like, that's not going to happen, but what they're saying is that's the trade-off. Well,
how do you know that's not going to happen?
I don't know that that's not going to happen.
You just said it's not going
to
happen.
What I'm saying is, okay, what I'm saying is I don't know that that is going to happen. Let me rephrase. So I don't know that that is going to happen, but what I do know is if that's all it takes for me to legally gamble mm-hmm. on sports and make hundreds of thousands of dollars and my penalty is I miss two games as a Texas Tech player, who cares?
Yeah, I'm taking the chance.
Mm-hmm. You guys could have a segment, I do know or no, no, no. What do you think of that?
Sounds awful, actually.
I think it's great. I think you're going to love that. Nuno, I do know. Yeah, there's something there.
That is not
it's
a good
sordid
name.
Affair. What do you
mean? That is not there's a good not. Name for that segment.
No, it's good. I saw
it. Evan, have you found the response to be a little sanctimonious? Or do you think it's been appropriate?
You know what the response is I actually love the most of this whole Sorsby story? Did you see Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, former LSU great, who obviously had a really lengthy career in the NFL and totally changed his like perception, right? Remember that guy was getting in trouble in college and then like every team wanted him to be their captain and you realize like, oh, he was just a kid not doing like – he was like doing whatever but nothing like that harmful. I thought his response was the best. Like, oh, I think I have 2 years of eligibility. The judge in Louisiana to grant those for me. Because that's how stupid it is. But you
right.
know what? You might as well try if you're him. Who cares? Lane Kiffin will take him. I promise you that. Like, if we're going to – Tausch, do you have eligibility left?
No.
Good.
Well, let's Joe find Thomas a judge.
Does, or like, yeah, right. Yeah, but you know what? Go find a judge, Tausch. Although, you know what? I don't even know that you can be an offensive lineman anymore. I feel like you're a tight end these days. But the point that I'm making is, like, it's aww. So stupid. It's so stupid that we can just break all these rules that are actually sensical and logical and just find judges or people to let us play. Now, not every NCAA rule, as we know, is sensical and logical. You know, state of Wisconsin's own, may he rest in peace, Rick Majerus, I'm pretty sure got in trouble once. Jason, you may remember this. For mm-hmm. paying for a flight home for one of his players, and the
yeah,
players
Keith Van Horn
died.
Yeah, I think it was Van Keith Van Horn. Yeah, I think so.
A parent yep. died. The young mm-hmm. man did not have the money at the time to pay for the flight, and Majerus is like, "Your mother or father passed away. I will cover the $200 at the time to get you back to wherever it is." And he got in trouble for paying for a flight for a funeral of a family member.
I'm old enough
like,
to remember.
The NCAA is absurd.
I'm old enough to remember 23 players suspended for a shoe scandal.
Oh God, I remember it. What a hot night that was too. I was schwitzing going to the stadium that night.
Schwitzing. Right. Yeah, it was.
And the
it was.
And the dumbest,
go ahead.
Go ahead. It's your show.
No, I was just going to tell you it was Keith Van Horn's father. I just wanted to confirm that for you.
Oh, okay. So, but no, but that night, I remember, what was it, Central Michigan, Western Michigan? I want to say it was like a Friday night game. It may have been early in August. It was in August, the Shoebox game. And anyone who went to the Shoebox got free gear. That was Steve Schmidt, I believe, right? That's his name?
Yes.
Who later mm-hmm. owned the Madison Mallards for a little bit as well. I mean,
yes.
he that was his marketing ploy. It was brilliant. It's like, in essence, yeah, you're going to buy a pair of $50 shoes and I'm going to give you a t-shirt with it. Everyone got it. That was not impermissible benefits for football players. That was a benefit if you were breathing and you made a purchase at the store.
I don't think they just got t-shirts, but again, I would tend to agree that all those things look antiquated and ridiculous based on where we are today, right? The idea that Tracy Webster and Michael Finley would eat at various bars in town when they would have their specials, like 25-cent Tuesdays for tacos and whatever else, because that's all they could afford, and the training table was insufficient, and they didn't have enough money to buy other stuff. Like, that was real back then, and it obviously wouldn't be the case today. So,
Jason, the whole argument of, well, the NCAA and all these schools take gambling money from advertising partners, that doesn't mean the players should gamble. Like, as a company, we take endorsements or we take advertising money and have great partnerships with alcohol brands. That doesn't mean people should be drinking on the air. Like, that you can separate the two.
Right. I'm guessing that there is some shady stuff that other schools do. This is obviously very different because of the legal system being involved. But there were some, I was intrigued by some of the responses. Not Honey Badgers, but some of the coaches and athletic directors. I still feel like they were saying one thing.
Let me ask one question, if I may, on this story. Mm-hmm. So, let me ask the question of the person that I think should be the AD of the University of Wisconsin. So, Tausch, if you were the AD at Texas Tech, all the NIL, big money around Sorsby, hottest free agent, transfer, et cetera, would you say to him, I'm sorry, I know you were ruled eligible, we're no longer interested in having you on the football team, we're more than happy to have you as a student, we're not kicking you out of school or anything like that, just doesn't make sense for you to be on the football team right now. Would you allow him on the team if you were the AD?
No.
Good question.
That's where I think Texas Tech gets the knock. It's like, why? What are you doing here? Why are you like? Why is this worth it for the 1 year?
It's not going to be worth it.
Great response. Tons of great energy from you on that response.
Oh, no. What do you want me to say? You asked me a yes or no question. Didn't you go to Big School J? Were you open ended? I don't know why, if you're looking at this, the whole idea of not scheduling Texas Tech and all of that, all of that is just complete foolishness. Like, you're going to, if you're scheduling games, you're going to have to go and do it. But there, you always look at this, and this is the reality of sports, is the juice worth the squeeze? If there's guys that get treated differently and they get more runway to go and be a little bit whatever than other guys. And I don't know this dude. I mean, maybe he's some great quarterback. They're probably paying him $7 million. And the fact that he's went and did this when you know that's the cardinal sin of sports,
mm-hmm.
It's time to go. That means, your decision-making sucks, allegedly. Right. And, B, it's not like you're Dan Marino. So, no, he's out. He's gone. I don't know if I could have been more crystal clear, but since you wanted me to expand on it, that's what I would say.
I thought his second answer, Jason, was better than his first. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Much better.
And I think that's a good place to end it.
Good energy.
Hey, Evan, thanks. Why on earth is baseball the only sport that its fields or whatever dimensions you want? You know what? You want a 280-yard foul pole down the right field line. That's cute.
For years. I've thought that for years. And it's like, all right, you know what? Hey, we got a lot of lefty hitters. Let's move the right field fence in. What? You can just do that? It's wild.
Yeah, I actually think in football.
Like a hill in the outfield.
Yeah, they got a big a hill.
That hill.
You love the hill.
It's charming.
It's very charming. Yeah, I don't get why.
I have a question, though. It's an important one.
Okay.
When we talk next week, will Giannis still be a member of the Milwaukee
When is the draft?
June 23rd.
He will be traded that weekend before.
2 weeks from today.
I don't know whatever date that is. 20th, 21st, something like that.
And as of now, where do you think he's going to go?
I hope it's not Miami, but it certainly feels like that's where he's going to strong arm his way to go. And I don't
Why
like
it. Why do you hope it's not Miami?
I don't think we're going to get the haul back we need. I don't like Tyler Hero's nice. I mean, if they bring Tyler Hero in, I think we trade him. And what do we get with? What do you get for him? Tyler Hero's not
I don't think
the.
They would trade him right away.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but that's why you asked me why. I want young stud talent that I'm not paying bonko dollars to unless they're that guy. And I need to have three, my own included, three first-round picks this year. That's what I need because we got to get this thing started.
Okay, you want Chet Holmgren.
Well, I would love to have Chet Holmgren, yes.
Yeah, he's a depreciation. But by the way, Tosh. So here's how you can get it done.
All right.
If with Miami. Miami has a guy by the name of Khalil Ware, 7'1" center, physically built like Wemby, obviously not as tall, can shoot the three unbelievably well, amazing shot blocker, and he's a really good player when he's like playing like a lot, right? And you know, he operates differently than most in terms of
not play a lot for Miami? Miami stunk this year.
I don't think you have to look at it that way. Miami's different in the way that they operate, how guys earn minutes. My point is this. Definitively, he could get you at least one first-rounder in the draft this year if you wanted to flip him upon arrival because of the fact that everyone is trying to Wembyize their defense, and he is actually a body type that would make sense guarding Wemby. So that's where if you want to turn what you get into more by way of picks, he would enable you to do that.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and listen to your Miami propaganda. I'm not interested.
How is that Miami propaganda? It is.
Oh, he's a great player. He's Wemby-esque. He's not good enough to play for a bad Miami
team.
This
guy you've never heard of is so good.
Yeah, okay, Evan. Sure.
You mean Tausch?
Yeah.
Let me explain something to you.
Don't you have to go to L.A.?
Yeah, in a second. If I was Milwaukee, there are two teams that I would target, and Miami's not one of them.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
It would be Golden State.
They're not
going to
give us Steph. Come on. They're not giving us Steph.
Steph? Yeah. And then the other one is Orlando. He's the Jared Verse. Brian Windhorst has said, keep an eye on the Miles Garrett, Jared Verse trade because that's what Jimmy Haslam did in terms of that, right? The young up-and-coming guy who could become the other guy, that's Paolo Banchero. That's your deal, the deal that I've been saying all along. Orlando. Now, you're not getting the picks, but you would have a face of the franchise.
No, we're also getting picks. We also want picks. We're not just going straight up for Orlando.
Well, they don't have them because they gave them for Desmond Bane.
Well, then tough luck.
Evan, thanks.
Cool. So, all right, bye.
Bane? All right, I'm going to go hear what Matt LaFleur has to say. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
For the time being, Jason Wilde on his way down to Matt LaFleur's press conference before mandatory minicamp practice number one up in Green Bay. Jason will rejoin the show in a little while here, and he'll share for the second half of our show this morning insights and observations from Green Bay as the Packers get out onto the practice field. I'm sure it'll be riveting, important information that he shares from this practice this morning because that's how he framed it last year for us, and I'm sure it'll be more of the same here this year. So thanks to Jason for heading over to Matt LaFleur's press conference. Thanks to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio for joining us. Tausch covered a lot of ground there with Evan. The Giannis thing is intriguing. Is there any way, what I want most is for the Bucks to be able to scare Oklahoma City into feeling like they need Giannis to go against Wemby. Because I think the best haul that the Bucks could get is from Oklahoma City. Is there any chance, NBA enthusiast as you are, that the Bucks could get that done?
It certainly doesn't feel that way. And I know Evan, who obviously is dialed in with Windy and some of the other guys that are on his show a bunch, doesn't feel that way. I would think, especially the way they lost and the way Chet kind of wilted, that felt like that would be a move. Giannis is not going to wilt defensively. Now, as far as scoring and offensively, you know, it would put a lot of pressure on Wemby to guard someone as physical and as long as Giannis. So I think it would be a really good fit. I don't say never on that yet. I still believe the best haul that the Bucks could get is someone like Chet, who I know people are going to say he got punked and all the other stuff, and I can't argue. Still pretty good. And we're not in the championship chasing business right now. We're going to be in the interesting business and trying to build some young core players. I think Chet could be a nice piece to start along with that haul of draft picks that they still have from all of those trades. So that would be interesting. They also have some young talent. Their team is so deep that I think there's other players that you could package. So I'm not going to say there's no chance, but every time I bring that up with Evan, it gets dismissed pretty quickly. So all signs are pointing, and the problem with this scenario is that Giannis controls a lot of cards, and the fact that if he doesn't want to go to that place, he doesn't have to. He's got 1 year left. He could say, I'm not signing an extension. You're going to give up all that for maybe a year with me? I think that's a really tough ask for the teams that are looking to trade for Giannis. If they don't get those assurances he's going to sign that Supermax, are you really going to give up the kind of haul that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be looking for him? The answer is probably no.
If you missed any of the conversation with Evan Cohen, you can find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app or go back on the ESPN Milwaukee and the ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Before we proceed into the 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch, it is our 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels, and it is Tuesday, which means it is once again your chance to win a $500 gift card from Steinhoffels as part of the Steinhoffels Sleepers of the last 10 years.
All right, sleepyheads, wakey, wakey.
We'll have less sleep and we'll be grumpy.
Rise and shine. It's this week's Steinhoffels Sleeper of the last 10 years.
That's right, your chance to win a $500 Steinhoffels gift card if you can identify the player with the clue that we have shared on our Wildy and Tausch social media platforms, and you'll see it now if you're watching along with us on our live video stream. Your clue is this. This defensive lineman spent 4 seasons in Green Bay, including making 10 starts in 2019, and when discussing him on Wildy and Tausch, Homer famously said, "I don't know anything about him, but I like everything about him."
I think it was a linebacker. I don't think
he is listed as a defensive lineman. I'm
pretty sure he was a linebacker.
Pro Football Reference lists him as a defensive lineman, and from what I have seen from the guesses rolling in on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line, people will know exactly who we're talking about. If you know, you
I'm
know.
I'm 95% certain, and maybe he said this about two players. I know who you're talking about with the Homer quote because it was such a great quote. And I am 95% sure he was a linebacker.
Well, he's, again, listed as a defensive lineman.
I know he
can
be listed as that. I'm telling you, he played linebacker for Green Bay, though.
So if you know the answer, text it to 844-770-3776 before. I don't know what you're signaling to me.
Well, I'm not going to give it away on air.
Well, then don't say it.
I'm not saying anything.
We have commercial breaks. Just ask me during the commercial break. If it's, text it to me.
If I know what number this guy was, then I know for certain it was a linebacker.
I believe what you were signaling to me is correct.
So then I am correct and you're wrong.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm just going by what the most reliable source online has for what it lists his position at. He stopped playing a couple of years ago. He's no longer in the league, to my knowledge.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
In this instance, I think I'm the more reliable source. And I don't always say that. I don't.
If you know
maybe
who the
I'm
player
wrong.
Is, before 12 p.m. Central Time today, text the answer to 844-770-3776. You got to text it, you got to spell it right, and you got to text it to the right place.
Just wait, so if you spell it one letter off, you don't get
They're
it.
Not going to be eligible
is
to win
because right?
The way we do this, you got to spell it correctly, first and last name. Text it in, 844-770-3776. Steinhoffels Sleepers of the Last 10 Years on Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Steinhoffels. Sleep better with Beauty Rest. Rest at Steinopfels. Test Rest, a Beauty Rest Black. Get a $20 gas card. Shop in-store or at steinhoffels.com. We will reveal who the player is at the end of today's show. Power Rankings Tuesday, while Jason attends Matt LaFleur's press conference and gets situated on the sidelines for Packers' mandatory mini-camp practice up in Green Bay. That's coming up next to kick off the official start of the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.